getting you healthy, happy, and doing what you love. You're listening to Tonic Podcast, the podcast of Dr. Tanya Winchester. Dr. Tanya is a licensed naturopathic doctor, acupuncturist, body talk practitioner, and edutainer with a passion for helping reduce pain and suffering and bringing more love, joy, and health into your life and into the world. The natural medicines and therapies mentioned in this podcast are not intended as medical advice or as a substitute for seeking medical attention. For more information about Dr. Tanya Winchester, visit Dr. Tanya, T-O-N-I-A, Winchester.com. This is Farah and of Tonic Podcast, and I'm thrilled to be here with Dr. Tanya Winchester on a subject that's very dear to my heart, and that is goals.
Yeah, you got it.
So tell us first, you know, what is the value and purpose of having goals and setting goals?
Well, you know, if we don't know where we're going, it's unlikely that we're going to get there. And I meet with a lot of people in my practice who have a health goal. I've come to learn that a lot of my work is just about helping people navigate the process of building new habits. And so here we are halfway through the year almost, and you know, you might have set something as an intention for yourself for the year, and this is a great time to touch back in with that idea and see how far along you are and how far you have yet to go. Have you got anywhere on it? Do you need to be doing deeper work to actually help you achieve that? I think it's a really powerful idea for us as humans, and something that we can really use to sort of propel us to higher potentials.
So you mentioned the word habit, and that midway through the year is a good time to revisit our goals. How can habits either help or propel us towards our goals or be an obstacle to our goals?
Yes. Well, we can create really big goals that end up not being achievable in the time that we've set. So it's good to actually break down the goals into baby steps for starters, but also to break down the timeline into mini sort of footprints, mini kind of touch points where you can say, okay, like in a week from now, I want to have done blah, blah, blah. In a month from now, I want to have da, 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 da. And so it gives us that sort of shining beacon light to work towards. Now, on the flip of that, certainly they can be destructive as well. If they're too big and we can't actually make the leap between where we are right now to where we want to be, the things won't align to make it happen. So goals can be a hindrance if they're set in the wrong way.
If they're too ambitious, for example.
Yeah.
Or if our daily habits don't support the direction of our goals.
Yes, and a lot of this does have to do with our subconscious programming. Everything that we do in our life, everything that we see in our life, everything that we have in our life is a habit. And so when you're wanting to build a new goal or reach a new goal, you have to start creating new habits, and that actually has to happen on the level of the subconscious mind.
I'm sure there's more we could explore there about the subconscious mind and habits and goals. So let's just go there a little bit. How does our subconscious mind affect even our ability to imagine and envision our best self?
It's everything. It's the driver. You know, you picture that image of that iceberg, the very classic, you know, the top of the iceberg floating above the surface of the water is our conscious mind. It's our attention. It's what we're observing in our environment. And then there's this whole sort of mammoth structure underneath the surface of the water that's actually the driver. And so much of what we have going on in our subconscious mind happens when we are young. I don't mean youngian, although that's connected, but young as in children. And we are taught, you know, how the world is. We are taught how we need to show up in the world, even though those teachings may be faulty beliefs that have just been passed down from people who didn't know any better.
So part of setting goals may be facing what we may have inherited from our parents and our culture about who we should be.
Yeah, and I think, to be honest, I don't know if it really matters. I mean, we can go back and try to sort of figure out where things went awry, but I feel like that's just extra energy that we don't need to be spending. We can just focus on moving forward, and because there are ways that you can actually reprogram your subconscious mind, build a new identity for yourself, and just move forward. Just start working towards the thing.
What are some of those ways that we can reprogram our subconscious mind?
The subconscious mind loves visualization. So there are tons of things on YouTube. I might even have a couple that I've recorded that I can link here in the show notes. But when we use sort of images in our mind's eye, that's a really cool, great way of helping change what is being programmed or what has been programmed. So you can do things like meditations or guided visualizations. Self-hypnosis is another example. In this energy work I do called Body Talk, we have something called Mindscape, which is a place where we can go and create change in our subconscious mind. All of these things are absolutely accessible to anyone and not hard to learn. I mean, it takes a couple weeks to sort of get the rhythm of it, but once you do, you can access that relaxed state. That's a key part of it, being in a very relaxed state. And then using your mind to create, to imagine the new thing. So maybe you're trying to go to the gym regularly. And so right now you're not going to the gym regularly because the habit is not going to the gym regularly. What you would envision in your mind's eye is, you know, every day you're getting up and you're putting on your gear and you're driving to the gym and you're going into the gym and you're doing your workshop. You would actually play that movie out in your mind's eye. And you would do that consistently, regularly for maybe 3 weeks, I think 2 months is best, before your subconscious mind would actually be kind of on board to have that as the new identity. Again, they say sort of 66 days to make a change. So if you were to, in the meantime, you're still going to the gym, let's say, but you're imagining being committed to that every day.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting and something that I didn't know about programming the subconscious mind. But let's come back to goals as it relates to health.
Yes.
What are some of the typical goals that people have that you see in your practice?
Weight loss would probably be the biggest. From a experiential perspective, more energy is a big one, and that can be, of course, related to a number of different systems being out of balance in the body. But really, for me, I'm curious about the deeper questions, like why do you want more energy? And when I start to probe into those kind of conversations, people say, well, I want to be able to play with my grandkids. I want to be able to travel with my spouse. I want to be able to do my art or whatever it is. So the goals become a little bit more soulful.
Mm-hmm. I see. So they're driven by something that's more connected to our heart or our soul.
Yes, even though they may not realize it at the time.
So now is midway through the year. We may have set some goals at the beginning of the year. We're reassessing and we're realizing that we may not be exactly where we want to be. We can do some visualizations. What else is important to know about goals, goal setting, and meeting our goals and achieving our goals?
That consistency is, I would say, the most important thing. So we have to be taking small action every day. Like, you don't just go to the gym once, using that example, and get fit and get your bikini body, right? You have to go consistently. And not only that, but you have to eat good food. You have to be hydrating. So all of the things that we've talked about previously in podcasts where we need to be eating well and drinking well and breathing well and moving well and eliminating well and sleeping well, these need to be consistent. So often, you know, when I meet someone for the first time, there's a lot of information that we go through on the first visit. And I often suggest pick one thing that you can be consistent with and do that for as long as it takes to feel like it's a new habit before, say, introducing the next layer. So maybe the one person's going to work on just having their really good nutritive breakfast, or maybe someone's going to work on making sure they're getting all the water that they need for the day, and then layering in the next piece, right? You know, health is not a sprint. It's just how we have to be.
and it's helpful not to try and do everything at once, but to do things in stages.
Yes, exactly. And the consistent daily things add up to big progress over time. Yeah, I'm recovering from a shoulder injury, and I, until about 2 or 3 months ago, haven't been able to do any push-ups, which I really like. I really enjoy them, and they really serve my body well. And I've been slowly building back up, and I did 15 push-ups the other day, and you know, I couldn't have done that 2 months ago, and I didn't just start at 15. I've been slowly building over time, but I've been consistent in my practice with them, and now I'm building strength, you know, as the injuries healed. And like I say, we don't just jump to the goal, we have to kind of implement tiny little baby steps to get there.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I think of goals, I think there's so many different types of goals. There's professional goals, relationship goals, health goals, material goals. Are there any goals that really cultivate that sense of deep satisfaction and contentment from within?
Yeah, that's a really wonderful question. And I'm going to refer us to Danielle Laporte, who is an author in Vancouver, BC. And she has this whole program and book around what she calls the core desired feelings. So it's not the thing that we want. So it's not the $1 million sitting in our bank account that we want. It's the feeling that that thing gives us. So maybe for one person, that's security. Okay, I'm going to be taken care of. Maybe for one person, that means, great, I can travel without worrying. Maybe for another person, that means, great, I can put my kids through school, and that, you know, helps me feel peaceful. So then the feeling is peaceful, or the feeling is adventure, or the feeling is, going back to the first example, is the security, right? So the core desire feelings become, again, the goal. So just another way of looking at it. It's not the thing you want, it's the feeling that the thing will get you that you want.
Mm-hmm. And how do you work with that? Do you consciously cultivate that feeling?
Yeah, that's another great example. You could go back to that idea of the subconscious reprogramming and picture imagining yourself feeling, say, brave, like maybe you're taking risks in doing things that scare you, or maybe you're feeling confident, you're standing in front of an audience and you're giving a keynote speech, or maybe you're visioning yourself feeling strong and you're able to kind of maintain boundaries and keep them, or maybe you're visioning yourself being adventurous and ziplining down a mountainside, if you understand where I'm getting at. So you would just picture, again, get into that very relaxed state, which you can do through deep breathing or different self-hypnosis techniques, and you would just imagine. And then the key part of those visualizations is to use all of your senses. What are you hearing when you're picturing yourself feeling confident? What are you seeing when you're picturing yourself being confident? What are you feeling when you picture yourself being confident?
Do you have an example of how this has worked in your life?
Okay. Good question. I think this piece about what I was just mentioning, the push-ups, I've been using this. So I have been in my mind's eye, in my relaxed state, imagining, I say I'm fit, I'm healthy, I'm strong, and I'm flexible. And when I stand on the scale, I'm at my ideal weight. And so I imagine standing on the scale and seeing the weight. I imagine myself being strong, being able to lift things. I picture it all happening. So, and it is happening. Wow.
And how long have you been doing this?
I would say beginning of March or so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or maybe February. Yeah.
So do you do goals on an ongoing basis or at particular times of the year?
Yeah, so I will, yes, I usually will sort of plot out a year around my birthday, which is early January. So it's close enough to the new year, but it becomes not a resolution because it's my birthday. because resolutions fail. But I'm always sort of evolving and growing and expanding, so things are changing and adapting for me quite quickly. But I do like to have these either seasonal or kind of biannual places where I say, okay, where are things? How close am I? You know, let's use a really kind of concrete example. Say you want to make $100,000 by the end of the year. So unless all of that money is coming in December 31st, by that half year mark, you want to have made $50,000. Right? And so at the quarter mark, you would have wanted to make $25,000. Mm-hmm. So those are little check places that you can, okay, where am I being consistent with my working towards my goal? Where am I not? What could I do to improve? What's hindering me? Where do I need to look for help? How can I access the next step that I need that I might not even know about? These kind of questions become valuable. Sort of little just personal check-ins.
How important is it to have a coach or someone to be accountable to in terms of keeping us on track with our goals?
I think that is really valuable because a lot of people are sort of externally driven. And having that person that you can say, you know, I am showing up because I completed my work, or I'm showing up and I don't feel good because I didn't complete my work. I think that's valuable. Just again, because we're so externally driven as humans. Not everybody, but.
Mm-hmm. And so much social creatures in the sense of needing and wanting and desiring connection.
100%. Yes. Yep.
So lots that we've talked about here, including subconscious visualizations, focusing on the feeling rather than the outcome. Mm-hmm. Are there other things that we haven't covered that you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, this one came from, I'm not sure where I got this from, so if this was your idea and you're listening, I apologize, but it's called Conditions of Enoughness. And so you set free, I have a blog on this, so I'm sure that the reference is in that blog. We will link in the show notes. So then what happens is, okay, today I'm going to do one push-up. And when I've done that one push-up, I check the box and I take a moment to acknowledge that I did the thing. I met my condition of enoughness. And you relish in the satisfaction of what you just did. And this is, to me, is like Shavasana in yoga. Like it's the beautiful, do they say it's the hardest pose in yoga? Where at the end of your practice, you get to just bask in all of the work that you just did. So conditions of enoughness and allowing moments of satisfaction where you acknowledge what you just did. I'm going to wake up every day and drink lemon water first thing. You do it, give yourself a proverbial or actual literal pat on the back. You met the conditions of enoughness. You get to move on after feeling that satisfaction.
And is this just to help train the brain in terms of its natural negativity bias that is built in as a result of evolution?
Exactly. It's like giving your brain a little dog treat. Good girl, good girl. Yes, you sat. Good girl. That's right.
So positive reinforcement and really taking delight when we do the things that we set out to do.
Yes, yes. And the other thing that I think is, we've kind of touched on it, but I haven't given it this formal language, is the idea of trigger goals. So these are these small steps that we take to reach the bigger goal. And a trigger step can be, or a trigger goal can be something that seems offensively ridiculous. And let's go back to the gym example. So say it's January 1st and you want to start going to the gym. You've said this for 40 years, but this is the year that you're going to do it. And you know what's going to happen. You're going to go on day one and you're going to rock it. You're going to rock it. And then you're going to go on day two and you're going to do a great job. You're going to go on day three and you're going to do a good job. And then something's going to happen on day four that will prevent you from going. And I'm not to be clear, I'm not suggesting exercising every day necessarily. Okay, disclaimer. So either Bobby's gotten sick and you need to take care of him, or you forgot your workout gear at work so you can't go, or blah, 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 blah. Forgetting is a choice. So instead of, and that's setting yourself up for failure. Like if you say, I'm going to go and do an hour workout every day, of this week, you are going to fail. And you know this because it's happened every year and you see everyone around you doing the same thing. So instead, the trigger goal then becomes, okay, day one, I'm going to get dressed up in my exercise gear and I'm going to sit on the couch. And day two, I'm going to get dressed in my exercise gear and go touch the inside doorknob of my front door. Day three, I'm going to get dressed up and I'm just going to go sit in the car. Day four, I'm going to now get dressed up and actually drive to the gym, but I'm not going to go in. Maybe day five, I'm actually going to drive there and I'm actually going to talk to someone at the gym. And then maybe by day six, I'm actually going to go in and maybe do, say, a five-minute workout. Now, go ahead.
This would drive me crazy just to do a little bit and not the rest of it. Is that the point of it?
Yes, the offensively small, ridiculous steps. And what's happening here is we're navigating the nervous system's disgust and loathing of making changes. Again, everything is a habit. So if we try to dive full hog in, the brain's going to be like, oh, hell no. But if we sort of give it these little bits each day, it's like, oh, yeah, no, I feel comfortable with this. This is okay. Oh, yeah, this feels okay, too. I'm good with that. And so we're helping the brain navigate its resistance to change.
Mm-hmm. And just by doing very small steps that don't make a big difference.
Yeah.
So they're easy to integrate.
That's exactly it.
Fascinating. I heard this is the second time I've heard that, and I think I'll have to try it just to see if it really works.
Yeah, pick something that you want to work on, and then so say the end goal is, you know, XYZ. So then you start with half of an X as the first day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Day two, maybe you do the full X. Then yeah.
This has been very informative, and I like the idea of trying the trigger goals. I'm sure people will have lots that they might be able to try from the things that you shared.
Mm-hmm.
Any last comments about to inspire people to revisit their goals, or maybe?
I think the last thing would be to write them down and keep them front and center. So they're written down, you see them maybe on your dashboard in your car, on your mirror at home, maybe on your computer at work, so that it's constantly stimulus for the nervous system. Oh yeah, right, I am, you know, confident speaking in front of people. Oh yeah, right, I'm confident, right? And you may not be acknowledging it consciously, but it's getting into that deeper driver, that subconscious.
Mm-hmm. So keeping them really close to, keeping them close in the sense that we see it regularly.
You got it, yeah.
Ideally daily.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
You've been listening to Tonic Podcast, the podcast of Dr. Tanya Winchester, getting you healthy, happy, and doing what you love. The natural medicines and therapies mentioned in this podcast are not intended as medical advice or as a substitute for seeking medical attention. For any health concern, it's always best to make an appointment to see a licensed medical practitioner. For more articles and blog posts, visit Dr. Tanya, T-O-N-I-A, Winchester.com, or visit us in beautiful Nanaimo, BC at Tonic Naturopathic Clinic. Have a delightful day.